views expressed on the preceding program does not necessarily reflect those of the Wade Broadcasting Corporation or the staff and management of WFBR. This is 1590 WFBR Glen Burnie, Baltimore. 1590 WFBR Glen Burnie, Baltimore. Views expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the Wade Broadcasting Corporation or the staff and management of WFBR.
To play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy.
Good afternoon, everybody. I know y'all miss me. This is Reverend Mother Annie Chambers, along with her co-host,
Ian Schlackman. How's everyone doing?
And this is the Troop Show. We're going to touch on quite a few things today because, you know, we've been out. We've been in Annapolis trying to get some things straightened out. We've been all over the place. I'm on my way tomorrow to Philadelphia. For the International Women's March. We are all over trying to get nothing but the truth out. As I said, this is the Truth Show. And if you have a comment or a call, you can call us at 410-761-1592. That's 410-761-1592. And that's for anything that you would like to say, anything you would like, whether you agree or disagree with us, we're going to put you on the air. Of course, you know, Mama don't have no problem with if there is a disagreement, tell you her point or side of view. You know I'm going to do that, but we want to make sure that nothing but the truth come out on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to start out for a few minutes till Ian gets set up. Uh-huh. And I'm going to be talking about the Housing Authority, Baltimore school system, and poverty itself. Because you also, for who don't know it, Mother is one of the organizers on the organizing committee for the Poor People's Campaign. And I will be talking more about the Poor People's Campaign, telling you more, and the fact that there's a National Welfare Rights Conference coming to Baltimore City, right here in the heart of this city. And we need you to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
We need people to come out with the issues. We need the homeless people. We need the poor, the working poor. We need the people in public housing. We need everybody to come out and help us fight this battle. Because only you going to be able to fight this battle. You know, nobody's going to fight it for you. So for the people that sit back and do nothing, I'm going to tell you, you may reap some of the benefits. But unless you get on board, we're going to step all over you. Don't come to me later telling me about what I want to talk. I want to know. We're not no negotiating. We are on a straight path to end poverty in America.
There you go.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're on a straight path. Nobody should be outdoors. Nobody should be hungry. Nobody should be without food. No clothing. Nobody should be without a shelter. So we on a straight path. I don't want to. We've already decided in welfare rights. We don't want people that want to negotiate and give a few to shut up the many.
There you go.
Carry your bull jive on with you. Mm-hmm. See, that's what y'all do to the homeless. You'll give about 6 or 7, maybe 10 of them a home and say, oh, we house the people. That's the lie.
That's what they do.
That's the lie. But we're saying to you, we want everybody, every living soul in America, every living human being to have a home. America is one of the richest countries in the world, and we can do it. We want everybody, and we're going to start here in Baltimore City, because y'all ain't seen squatting like you're going to see it here in this city. We're going to squat. I'm putting you on notice. I don't give a half if you call in the National Guard or whoever you call the police, because I don't care who it is. We don't have nothing to lose now, and we been abused and used so bad in this city. It is fitting that one of the main cities in the United States that started the biggest fight is Baltimore City. And we're going to do it. We're making plans. So go back, all of you spies and sneaks, and tell the mayor, put her on board, that we ready to fight. We're going to come out with everything we got. We're going to come out using whatever we got to use. We're going to use it. We're going to use it. Families, children being snatched away from their families because their family can't afford the rent. The family can't afford the utilities. The family can't afford the water. So all over this country, you know, you playing games with people's lives. And you got your overseers, because that's all they is. You rich people got your overseers doing your bidding. Well, that day is over with. And we ready to fight back. And we're going to fight back. We're going to fight back. And we ain't taking no prisoners. I want you to know that we ain't. We got to fight with whatever we got and with all that we got. We're going to be squatting. We're going to be going to welfare offices and demand services. We're going to go in and break up this monopoly that Social Security and SSI got. That they just turning people down. They look at you and turn you down. What's a disability? Some people don't look disabled that are disabled. But we know you're playing the race game with us also. And we ain't going to let you play the race game no more with us. Because we're coming in all colors and races and all sizes. And we're going to fight back. And if the law don't support us, then we're going to fight to change that law. But in the meantime, if it means being civil disobedience, then watch out. We ready for that too. We are ready for that. No way is our children supposed to sit in a school with their coats on because they don't have heat. No way is people walking around saying, oh, my food's spoiled because my utilities is off. You understand? No way can people say certain people froze to death because they had to sleep outside. This is not supposed to happen in America. This is a disgrace that these things are happening. And we ain't putting it in good words either, y'all, because they got people like me. And you know Reverend ain't got nothing to back up from. I like you young people that's saying that we want all or nothing. we're going to get it all. We have a right to stand up for what is right. We have a right to fight back. Now, next month, there will be a welfare rights conference right here in Baltimore City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling out some people that I need to come on board to get in touch with me. David Anthony Weekins, C.D. Witherspoon.
Mm.
Okay, we need you. Mama Lola, we need you. You know, I know you go way back. Mama Edna, we need all of y'all to be involved. See, you can't take on the little small issues and not take on survival for your people. But we talking about for everybody. See, the one thing that this country got away with was playing one race against the other.
There we go.
But that lie is over with. There's hungry white people, Hispanic people, black people, brown people, red people. Hungry! Do you understand? And the president want to make sure that you stay hungry because he talking about getting rid of food stamps. Now that's something we for. You know, when I think about it, I went to jail so people could get food stamps. And here this fool talking about cutting them off. Taking them away. You understand? These, we talking about survival. We talking about a guaranteed income for every human being in America. That they will exist. You know, that they can exist. Not will exist, but exist. We talking about a guaranteed place to live. We talking about people that would have guaranteed food. We talking about the clothing. You understand? These are things we are talking about. The basic human rights. And when people going to tell me, oh, do you think that you entitled to it? Yes! Yes, I'm entitled to it. God gave me the grace. And entitled to it. Yes, I'm entitled to these things. Every human being in America is entitled. Would be no America if there were not people that was poor, that had worked hard to build this country. This country that you lied and took and stole in the first place. So now we're here. We're all immigrants, but we're here in America, and we have that right. We have that right. The police department, we're not afraid. I want y'all to know, we're not afraid. You can bring in them rednecks from the county that sent us the mess. We waiting for you. Come on. Come on. Because we already got the message and we know what we up against. If myself and people even before me could stand out and take the dogs and the water holes and the guns shots, and if we ready to. We are ready to. Show America up for what it is. Put a face on this nasty racist bigness, capitalist country that you are. Show America up for what it is. That's what we want to say. That's what we want to do. So, you know, we're ready to fight. We're going to fight. So get ready, brothers and sisters, you all that want to come along. Because we ain't going along just to get along. But you all that want to come, and I'm using word, y'all hear my good Southern, you know, there's a reason I do this. There's a reason I sound like this, because I had a friend that called me up, and me and her was in college together. And she said, but you know, I said, I sound like I'm more sound, and I you know, I sound like who I am. I don't have to change. See, when you go, they say, do you know grammar even in elementary school, even in high school? Or we teaching grammar? I always made my children, when they walked in there and they had a different sound, I said, who you talking to? What you talking about? Is that what you hear in this house? You talk like you always talk. Don't get your voice high. Don't talk to me about what's proper. You ain't English, so you don't know what the hell English really sound like. You was raised by a black woman and a black man from out of the South.
Mm-hmm.
Your daddy come from South Carolina and your mother was born and raised in Virginia. So don't come, who is you talking to? Now, if you just want to say, you know, the word proper, that's fine. But don't get high and don't get all that up with me, you know. And when my family do it, I look at them and turn my head and walk on away. And I say to some of them, you don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
Nope.
So I don't even, you know, I don't deal with it, you know. But to get back on track, brothers and sisters, we got to stand together. Now, I'm going to bring Ian on now. Okay, Ian?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm going to, because we do have a lot going on.
We do.
Okay.
There's a lot going on in Baltimore, and I want to talk a little bit about something that happened yesterday. So yesterday, for those of you that don't know, dozens, hundreds, maybe even a thousand students marched from their schools all the way down to City Hall. And they were protesting gun violence in general. They wanted to raise the grades.
Right.
They want investment in the schools. And I couldn't stay, I couldn't say enough how proud I am of these young people.
All right.
I think this was a really amazing thing that they all did.
Yes, yes.
And if you look at the schools that started it were some private schools. Friends, the Episcopalian schools. But they stopped along the way at a lot of the different kinds of schools in the city. They stopped at the lab school. And if you don't know, the lab school deals with children with learning disabilities. They got folks down from City College. They did a really fantastic job of making this something that every student in Baltimore can relate to.
Right, right.
You know, but a student... Look, I'm going to tell you, because this is something that I know a lot about. The private schools in this city function so well because they can kick out any student. Any student. The student could look at the principal wrong. The student could be failing. The student could be, well, for whatever reason, they can kick the student out. So if you think about it, a Parkland-like shooter could definitely happen in one of these schools, because you know you got a kid that's unstable, he's making crazy comments, the school's gonna kick him out. That's what the school's gonna do. They're gonna kick him out. So I'm really proud of these students for, first of all, organizing around making sure that they're safe,
right,
but then I'm especially proud of making sure that this issue was relevant to all the other schools in the city that face gun violence on a daily basis. And here's where I this is the first thing I wanted to say on the show today. I am disgusted by the mayor and our new top cop, D'Souza. I am disgusted by their behavior yesterday. I could not be more outraged with what they did. They got on a grandstand, bandstand, whatever, at the end of the march.
Right.
And you had some, look, there were some politicians that showed up to talk to the students individually.
Right.
There were some ones out there. Christopher Burnett was out there. You know, Zeke Holton was out there. Yeah. I saw some photos with him. I think even Eric Costello was there. But you know what? I mean, from my understanding, and I wasn't there in person. We did have some folks out there for the Green Party, but I wasn't there in person, so I don't want to say anything out of line. You know, they took some photos. They asked the kids questions. The focus was about the kids.
Right.
It's not about your stupid political career.
Right, right.
No matter how short or long it's going to be.
Right.
And for the mayor and for D'Souza to stand up at the end and get on the mic and make all of this about them.
Right.
Was
right.
Disgusting.
Yes.
It was disgusting. And from what I understood, the crowd really wasn't having it. Mm-hmm. From the folks that were on the ground, it sounds like, you know, one of the student speakers said clearly that the mayor was responsible for the gun violence problem in this city. You better believe the police are responsible for the gun violence problem in this city. Mm-hmm. They're the gun task force is the one out there robbing people and putting the guns back in the community.
In the community. I'm going to talk about that part. You know,
You can't, you know.
Uh-huh.
So then, but then it gets even weirder. So when D'Souza took the mic, apparently, he didn't say anything about the purpose of the marchers, why they were here. Instead, he asked all the ladies to raise their hands, called them queens, and then asked the men to raise their hands and told them to protect the ladies.
Ain't that
fun? Now, I tell this story as often as I can, and I'm going to tell this story today because it's directly related to this. When we were down there at Occupy Baltimore back in, I think, 2015 or 2013, I can't even remember now. Man, I'm bad with dates. Anyway, you know, I was the one who had to facilitate. And you had anyone can come up to the mic. We never had politicians come up to the mic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God forbid they even recognized the place. They were trying to tear it down. But, you know, anyone come up to the mic.
Right.
And for those of you that don't know, basically what Occupy Baltimore turned into was a homeless, a place to feed the homeless.
Right, right.
So we had some homeless people in the encampment. And there was this one guy who stood up. And, you know, people were coming to the mic talking about, oh, let's keep the camp clean, or, you know, oh, you all are dancing too much, you want to talk about politics.
Mm-hmm.
They were discussing serious things going on in the camp. They want to protest Bank of America, they want to talk about slavery, debt being equal to slavery. They had some
right.
serious issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy comes up to the mic, he was a little wobbly, I didn't think he was drunk, but he might have been. Older gentleman, he was probably homeless. And he comes up to the mic and he says, you know, we said, anyone can talk, just keep it on topic. He says, okay, I got a topic here. I want to let everyone know that I'm here to say I love the ladies. I love the ladies. I love all the ladies out there. And, you know, and two people went and grabbed the mic away from him and said, come on, man, we're talking about serious stuff here. You cannot come on the mic and say you're here to talk about ladies. You have something serious to say? He's like, okay, I got something serious. I'm like, all right, give him the mic back. He said, you know, seriously, I really love the ladies. I want to let all the ladies know you're beautiful out there. And they took the mic away and they said, you got to sit down. Come on, man. We're having a serious thing here. That reminds me of what D'Souza did yesterday. You get thousands of kids to risk detention and getting expelled from school, walking out of school like that, walking through the city by themselves. You know, not all of these were sanctioned walkouts.
Right.
Those private schools are pretty strict.
Right.
And then he gets to the end, the mayor hands him the mic, and this is what he says: y'all are queens and men keep them safe. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really outraged by this. I really am. And one of the people that took the stage yesterday, one of the teens that were part of the march, not some grandstanding politician, actually said, you know, the schools still don't have heat.
Right.
There was a recent article about the schools losing heat again.
Right.
What are you doing about that, Mayor?
Mm-hmm.
Can you go back inside and get your governor buddy on the phone? You're running after Donald Trump at the stadiums. We got you on footage of that now. Go run after him and go down to D.C. Get us some heat for these schools.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to go out there and you're going to take a whole group of students and you're going to tell them you're doing the right thing for them.
Right.
Do you tell them about the fact that you evicted the homeless? Because I'm pretty sure students don't want you to evict the homeless.
Right.
You tell them the fact that you vetoed the minimum wage. Again,
right.
I'm pretty sure students didn't want you to veto the minimum wage. But no, you get up there and you just grandstand, put on a big smile,
mm-hmm.
make this all about you.
Mm-hmm.
You put your top cop on there who's got nothing to say but
mm-hmm.
sexist remarks, frankly.
Right.
I mean, this is just, only in Baltimore could this kind of BS happen. I mean, really.
Yeah.
And a lot of the students, were not having it. They were not happy with what the mayor said. Mm-hmm. But I am just furious at the mayor for taking advantage of kids like this, trying to do their best in a bad situation.
That's politics, baby. That's politics. Don't do. Mm. Burns used to say that all the time.
Mm, that really boiled. That really made me mad. And I'm gonna tell you something else too. You know, and then I want to give the mic back over to you, Reverend, to talk about the gun task force and stuff. Mm-hmm. But look, when the unions fought for the Fight for 15 in Baltimore, I was there. People's Power Assembly was there.
Right.
You had a lot of radicals that came out and said, we want to support this initiative.
Right.
But the moment that Jack Young and the mayor got together to conspire to how to stop the city from getting $15 an hour minimum wage, the unions kind of said, look, our time is best spent elsewhere. And they moved on.
Yeah.
And here's my point, all right? Here's my point. So now they've gone on to focus with a whole new group of people, a whole different group of people working on this. $15 an hour on the state level.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's fine. That's all well and good. Right. I know some of the organizers. They're good young people. A lot of them, this is their first time organizing. And I'm happy that they're getting work.
All right.
But the political leadership of these unions made a very, very politically savvy and, in my opinion, disgusting decision. Because rather than keep the existing people in the fight,
right,
in Baltimore, they said, you know what? There's a governor's race coming up. Mayor Pugh is a Democrat. Jack Young's a Democrat. We're not going to fight them. We don't want to fight Democrats. So instead, we're going to take our leadership, our guidance from Mayor Pugh, who said, I'll support this bill if you send it to Annapolis. The woman who just vetoed $15 an hour minimum wage, they then said, okay, good point, Mayor Pugh, and they took the fight to Annapolis. Because now they're probably going to, they've been working so hard. These young people that are in these unions and organizers, my heart goes out to them. They are tireless. And you know they're getting paid almost nothing.
Right.
They will talk to anyone, any business, get them on board, get them up to Annapolis. They've been doing a fantastic job. But the result of this is going to be that they're probably going to win the fight in the House and the Senate to get $15 an hour because it's 2023.
Right.
I mean, that's not that's a long time to get $15 an hour.
Yeah.
You're raising it a dollar a year or something less.
Oh, Lord, I tell you.
It's not much.
No.
But the result of this is going to be that the governor's going to veto it.
That's what I'm talking about, because they...
But my whole point is this. And then the unions can go, aha, look how bad Governor Hogan is vetoing this.
Mm-hmm.
You had a shot to hold Mayor Pugh's feet to the fire.
Right.
You had a shot to do the right thing and call out a bad Democrat. And instead, you all turned around, the people at the top, going to the fancy lunches and whatever they do, talking to the politicians in Annapolis, Miller and Bush.
Right.
They said, you know what? Let's move this fight to Annapolis and put the heat on Governor Hogan.
Right.
And then they're all going to sit around and say, look at us. All Democrats are good. You know, I was, this is what really got me mad. I turned around to see Twitter yesterday, and Joy Reid from MSNBC, who famously she called the Bernie supporters Democrats who were like bad roommates who wouldn't pay the rent and would drink your juice and stay on your couch.
Oh, Lord.
Then she's turning around and saying, wow, look at our Democratic mayor in Baltimore marching with these students. Oh, I was so angry when I saw that tweet. She's basically saying, as long as you're a Democrat and you're putting on a good political show, I'll support you.
Right.
I don't care if you're kicking the homeless in the teeth. I don't care if you're tearing down public housing that people had fought for generations to keep. I don't care if you're vetoing minimum wage or tearing apart the minimum wage.
Right.
I don't care if you're running after Donald Trump like an idiot at a Ravens game, which is something that she actually did.
Right.
She doesn't care. As long as it's a Democrat.
Democrat.
As long as she can put her brand on it.
Right.
She's
right.
Good. She's there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got nerve enough to say that the Bernie people are the problem and the Greens are the problem. But no, Jill Stein's the problem, obviously, in her mind. Bernie's the problem in her mind, 80-year-old man.
Right, right.
But for
right.
some reason, she turns a blind eye to what's going on within the Democrats.
Right.
And the unions are going right along with it. I tell you right now, if you are at the top of the food chain in SEIU in Baltimore, I don't have any respect for you anymore. I've lost all respect in this fight. I love the people that work on the day-to-day to get this stuff done. Mm-hmm. I think the organizing you're doing will last a while, and we can right, make other right. good fights out of this. But to lead people into a fight that you know you can't win,
right.
just so you could score points against Governor Hogan, make him like he's some kind of horrible monster,
mm-hmm.
that's all you're doing. I mean, you're never... I don't know what to say. I really don't. I mean, to turn your back on a winnable fight and go tell these young people and these workers that follow you every day and think you're looking out for them to go fight Governor Hogan, who's... I mean, if Governor Hogan says yes on $15 an hour minimum wage, he's basically betraying his whole party.
Right,
I mean, you know, you're putting... I don't understand why you do that. That's mm-hmm. that's like asking... I'll tell you every day I'm a socialist. You ask me to support capitalism, I'm going to tell you no.
Right.
That's not really... It shouldn't be a surprise
right.
to you.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I'm really tired of this. And you look what's going on in West Virginia. The unions out there got them on strike.
Right.
And then when the unions caved, the teachers union I'm talking about.
Right,
when
teachers.
The unions caved, the teachers said, we're staying on strike until
right.
we get what we
That's
want.
That's right. They sure did.
That's the kind of thing we need right now.
Yeah.
These bosses at the unions are just laughing at us. They're collecting their fat checks.
Checks.
They're meeting with Mayor Pugh and everyone behind the scenes, scheming, plotting. I mean, Maryland could not be a bluer state. There is no more territory for these Democrats to take.
Right, right.
Do something right. Do $15 an hour minimum wage. Do something for the homeless. But no, you're going to make a show out of everything.
Yeah.
Everything's a game to these people.
Yep.
While people lose money, they lose wages, they're
That's
evicted.
Right.
This little show really made me mad. And it's not something I'm going to be quiet about.
No. And you shouldn't be quiet about it.
No.
Because we have to, that's what the show is about. This is the Troop Show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you have a comment, if you have a complaint even, we take those too.
Mm-hmm.
You see how articulate I was? You see? But you can call us up. At 410-761-1592. 410-761-1592. And I've given out that number because people have said, well, I tried to call you. And I said, no, you didn't call because I would have heard. We would have took your call because then we ain't scared of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scared of anything. Don't have to be scared of, you know, my Savior because I'm going to do right. As much as I can, and when I do wrong, he know that in my heart, I'm still trying to do right, and he will help me. Sometimes, you know, I do flare up, but he understands. He forgives me. Okay, but you see, when you talk about Catherine and the top bubble, that's what I call him, Bubble. I was calling him something else, but then I do have a grandson that's a bishop, and he said, Reverend, you can't say that. he said, Reverend, you can't say that. And I, you know, so I, you know, I, you know, said, okay, I won't say that anymore. I'll just say, Bubble, do we have a call? Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Annie Chambers.
How y'all doing?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm well, and you did not come see me.
I know I haven't been to see. Don't beat me up just yet. And I got some personal things going on.
Okay.
I ain't gonna make no excuses though.
Okay,
hey Ian, how you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Y'all wanted somebody to call in, so I called in. I heard part of what you were saying about those children and that march yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm really kind of upset with Jay Gillen and those folks up there at the Algebra Project because they're always using our children as political pawns. And it's not fair. You know, they can barely read. They can barely count. But they want to use them for these, you know, controversial issues and march them out of schools. You know, but where were they? Did they march them out, like you said, for heat? Did they march them out because of these scores? They don't have textbooks. Do they march them out for that? No, because they get paid. They still they get paid. You know, he's a teacher, isn't he? Isn't the Algebra Project a part of the school system? I mean, they do that in the schools, and they just use the children. These are grown adults using children to further their own political ends, and I think it's wrong. You know, I don't think that that's right. You know, and then for the mayor and them to use them to their advantage, they had police escort and all of this stuff. So it was planned. It's crazy to me to use children. If you don't want guns, I can't tell you what people who don't want guns, you know, they'll get upset if you ask them, well, should the police have guns? Mm-hmm. Should the army have guns?
Mm-hmm.
Guns have their place.
Yes.
You know, and just to make it about an AR-15, it's not an automatic. It's a semi-automatic. It does the same thing as a Remington 22 would do. So, I mean, people don't really get the whole gun debate. But, you know, I don't understand it.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, actually, I'm really glad that you brought this up.
Right.
Because this was a question that I was going to put to you, Reverend. I wanted to know where you stood on this debate. Because I know
and
my...
And Reverend's going to tell y'all no soon David get old. Go ahead, David.
Okay. Well, I just want you to know, too, that I put my hat back in the ring for the office of sheriff this time. And I see the Green Party isn't running anybody this time around.
Come talk to us, David. Do not do it on the air.
Huh?
Come talk to us.
Okay.
Come talk to us. We won't do this on the air.
All right.
But if you come talk to us, we will give you the answer, okay?
Okay. All right. That's a good thing. And, you know, I'm just, this whole thing with the Gun Trace Task Force, you know we've been saying this. You've been saying it. And we've known this stuff for more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we have bigger fish to fry in this city than something that's going on with this gun debate. I really think it takes away from what we found out in the city, like the police, like the court taking the police names off a case search.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was egregious. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't march for that. Why don't they? It's so many things going on in this city and in this state that are germane to quality of life, the national issues. You know, you shouldn't use children for that. I'm really ticked off at Jay Gillen and them guys up there for that. That's not right. And the mayor and them were in on it. So, children got pimped. You know, our parents allow their children to get pimped by these people, too.
Right.
So, you know, parents got to do a better thing. Why don't they march them out of school? Why don't the parents have them march out of school to get some textbooks and some heat? Boycott the school system when they steal $25 million at a pop.
Okay.
You know, that's money that's being stolen from your children, and they don't do that.
Okay, all right. Well,
David,
thank you so much for calling in.
David, thank
We're
you
gonna
again.
We're going to talk about this.
Call Mother, David.
I'm definitely coming to see you. I will.
All right.
I'm coming to your party. Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, David.
I do want to just make it one comment, and then I want to talk to you about that. Because I this is why I said it the way that I said it, so people aren't confused about this. There have been kids in the school system talking about the gun violence problem, the gang problem for decades. I mean, that's not a new thing.
Yes.
What I like, and you know, and I don't know how else to say this, but the private school kids saw Parkland and said that could happen here.
Yes.
Exactly the way it happened in Parkland.
Yes.
You got some crazy kid. He's got home problems. Mm-hmm. His dad's a gun nut and grabs an AR-15, and they come back after they're expelled. I could definitely see that happening. So I'm applauding those kids for then having the initiative to know that, you know, little private school problem is not the only problem. Every day, people are losing their lives. I worked in an inner city school where, you know, one day a teacher lost their life.
Right.
And we all had to come in the morning at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. Every kid that came in, we had to comfort them and make sure they were okay finding out this news the first time, because they were crying. I mean, inner city, it's, you know, this happens every day. But he brought up a good question, which is the gun control question.
All right. And mother's going to be up front and open. The last time we had a battle in Baltimore City for the gun ban, mother fought very hard and will always fight very hard against it. And I'll tell you why. Even though they sent the FBI to my house and I got other people to help me fight, I won't call a name. Couple of them going on now, but I'm going to call one name. I had one good buddy, and me and him stood shoulder to shoulder on many issues. Mm. But we came disbenefited on that issue, and that he's going on now. But he was a soldier, and that was Irvin Conway. Mm. Irvin said, I just can't believe you believe that away, Annie. And I said, listen, let me tell you. Guns, I grew up with guns in my house. I grew up with the shotgun right over my door. I grew up with 22 rifles and all the other things around me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, the young man and most of the killings that has been in the school system have not been by the people that we would like to point the finger at, okay? They are all middle class folks, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And they ain't gonna get rid of their guns in the first place. And the fact that they had them in their house. Secure your gun. If, you know, when my kids were growing up, I kept a 30-30.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh boy, that'll get you. That'll blow you up and the bullet explode inside you.
Really?
Yes. Huh. Yes. But I had a 30-30 rifle in my house at all times. Now, given my children, some of my children, and knowing their intentions, they never knew what the 30-30 was.
Mm-hmm.
The 30-30 was secured.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a shotgun that I gave away to one of my other children.
Really?
Yeah, I gave it to one of my sons. The 30-30 came about because at first it was a military. It is a military.
I wanted to ask you that. You know, to the best that you
can.
Yeah,
it was a military gun, but the person that gave it to me, was in the military.
Oh, really?
Yes. But working against the gun ban, I got to learn a lot about Baltimore City. You go down in Brooklyn, Canton, all those places, there's lots of guns. I went into a house, still there, I ain't gonna call the name, but they pushed the wall, and there was guns for days in that house.
Oh my gosh, really?
All kinds of guns. They said, do you need a gun, Annie?
Oh my gosh.
You know, you understand, there's a place for guns. Now, I know, please don't call me up and tell me about all the killings, because I lost two grandsons But do you understand who flooded our community with the cheapest and the worstest guns? There is all over the inner cities throughout this country.
Right.
The police department, the federal agencies, okay, even FBI in New York, yeah. I've been told. In Baltimore City, I know that Baltimore City Police Department, I know that they ordered guns. I lived 2206 Gifford Avenue for 48 years. I remember this, if it was as good as yesterday, 1993, a big moving van truck pulled up on Gifford Avenue, and the man got out. This white man got out. And he, you know, there'd been a sort of an accident with the car. But anyway, they hit the back of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And when it flew up, there were all kinds of guns.
Mm.
All kinds of guns.
Mm.
Now, I called Baltimore City Police Department. Yes, check it out, Baltimore City Police Department. Mayor Pugh, get your folks to look it up, because you know you knew about it, okay? I called Baltimore City Police Department. They got all kind of guns and rifles and everything. We found out on Greenmount Avenue, there was the Greenmount Gang in Berkeley. On Gifford and Calvert and, yeah, Gifford, Calvert, and the lower part of 25th, there was the gang. And the guns was supposed to be distributed between them so that they could, you know, have this gun battle to take territory. Because, wow. You understand?
Wow.
Now, this is what Reverend knows. Uh-huh. I know. Check the records. They threatened me to not to go to court, and they told me the trial was at one time, and by the time I got to the court, they had already got up in front of the judge, and the man got off with not even a slap on his hand. Never found out why he had all these guns in that truck in my community.
But, Reverend, I mean, let me ask you, though. I mean, are you against banning guns? Are you okay with banning certain types, or you don't want to ban any? And can you talk a little bit about, like, is it because of where you were in the revolution and the movement?
Well, I'm against banning guns, but certain guns, you know, nobody needs as much. Well, wait a minute, let me stop. I was gonna say a machine gun, but I mean, what? Unless we in the revolution, we don't need the machine guns, okay? We got to be truthful about that. And when I say the revolution, I'm still dealing. Reverend is a product of the beginning of the civil rights era, okay?
Yeah, you got your... Okay?
Okay, I'm you know, I cut my teeth.
Yeah.
As you want to say on that.
You got your Panthers beret on right
you
now.
You know, right.
So, I mean...
But you understand that we got to look at it for what it is.
Okay.
We can disband ourselves and have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this new millennium of young people that's ready to fight and stand up. And see, I know I sympathize with people when they say, "Oh, I don't want my child to die." Don't you? Let me tell y'all something. I don't want my children to die either. I done lost children to the street, grandchildren to the street. I don't want them to die. I love them as much as you love yours. But if they're going to take my child and send them over there to, what is it, South Korea?
North Korea.
North Korea to push their issues in the fight and die, why wouldn't my child fight for its freedom right here in this country, to be treated fairly as a human being? We done fought in every war in this country. Mm-hmm. We have fought in every war we ever had in this country. This country have not had a war. I don't care what war, you know, just since America been America and black people been here, that we have not fought in it. But we're still fighting to be treated as a human being, to be treated as an equal. You understand? So when we talk about guns, there are certain guns, no, we don't need a 30-30 in my house. We don't need that in my house.
I think we see eye to eye on that. Yeah.
You know, we don't need that. We don't need a machine gun in my house. Mm-hmm. We don't need a semi-automatic in my house. Mm-hmm. Okay? We don't need that. Nor do the Baltimore City Police Department.
Exactly.
We don't need a tank for me to ride around in.
Nor does the police
department. Nor do the police department.
But they got them.
You understand? But they got them. We don't need tear gas for me to throw out and choke people to death. You know, if there was, you know, but the police department got all these things. Mm-hmm. All these things at their disposal to kill me.
And they use them.
And they use them on me. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm saying me because I ain't just talking about black people now. I'm talking about poor.
Mm-hmm.
Poor people. See, that's what we got to talk about, class. We don't need to be shooting down each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to educate our children for. Because when they found out that the drugs was not going to kill us, and then it moved into their community, now all of a sudden it's an opium, you know, problem. No, it's drugs, like y'all gave it to us, throwed it in our communities and thought it was going to stay there. Well, hell no, it don't work that way, because human beings, our young people mix, okay? Mm-hmm. They're going to be together, okay? They're going to, no matter what you do. Okay, so then, now, that's where the gun part come in, and every, you know, all the, you know, people that's not really looking at this situation, is that these are cheap Saturday night specials and cheap the majority of the time. Maybe not all, but the majority of the time, they are cheap guns, and the police department knows it. And they will put, and they have put all this garbage into our communities. They have allowed us to be able to, those things are at your disposal. But you want a gun? You could buy a gun on the streets of Baltimore for $35, $40, maybe $25, or maybe sometime as some, you know, some of the dealers say, you know, I give you a cap of cane or whatever, whatever. That's the way these are not seriously guns. You know, and Minister Malcolm did a good explaining this to us. He explained this to us when people said, oh, he was talking about getting guns and stuff. No. Not the stuff that's killing people now, killing, you know, the average person. No, that's not what he was talking about. See, because if you're gonna fight, you got to really be able to fight. You got to have the equipment to fight with. You got to know what you're fighting for and willing to die for. Okay? Mm. So, to do these things, Reverend have always been and still will be against the gun ban, that people should not have guns, because there will always be a certain group of people that will have guns. If you well-to-do, you know, rich, if you even think you're upper class, you have a gun and I won't have anything. I'm still at the mercy of you.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's my feeling about that. I don't have a feeling where, you know, of course, I have children that I would not trust a gun to.
Mm-hmm.
They grown people now. I still wouldn't trust them with a gun. I had a son who's going on there, who his thing was, he really wanted to find the gun in the house one time to get his dumb self in some trouble that he thought that his mother or somebody else could have got him out of, that he didn't need to even be in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it was the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we, yeah. like my daddy used to say to us, the guns were there, but we knew not to grab the gun because we had a fight with somebody to go out there and shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
We could, you know, we knew that. So those are that's what we have to talk about. And working class people, poor people, black people, Hispanics, browns, people, red, we all got to understand that, and we got to have we got to have that conversation. Do not let them just blanket the gun situation.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think there's more common ground in there than I thought there was going to be. And I told Reverend before the show, I said, I'm not even going to ask you what you think. I'm going to ask you on the air. And she said she's okay with it, and I appreciate that, Reverend.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, and we don't have much time, so I'll keep it brief. In my lifetime, mm-hmm. I have not seen, the only people that I've seen hoard guns for some sort of revolution or to go against the government have been crazy white extremists. One after another after another. Mm-hmm. And now you've got, and I'm going to make this connection, and I know it's a little strange. Now you've got like Elon Musk, who's the guy's old rocket company.
Yeah.
I mean, that man can literally blast a rocket into space. He blast a car into space
right. Because
he wanted to and he had the money. It's his company.
Right, right.
So I am for some level of gun control. Mm-hmm. No one's talking about banning guns. That's not on the table by anyone I know that's talking about banning all guns. But I am for some level of gun control because you think about it. What's to stop someone like that from then go getting a nuclear warhead, putting it on his rocket?
Nothing.
And then he could say, he could go take over Cuba. He can go take over half the United States.
Well, I mean, it's nothing to stop him, Ian, even if there were no guns.
Yeah.
It's nothing to stop him because, again, he is part of the elite.
That's exactly my point. And right now, we were lucky so far because right now all you really had were crazy, you know, white pro-Trump idiots out there in Washington
taking
over campsites and stuff like that.
Right, right.
I mean, that's one thing. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like Eric Prince of Blackwater and stuff like that, they are watching very closely where they can and can't create their own private army.
Right,
and they're putting it in countries all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing about the United States is that we don't allow that kind of thing.
Right.
We don't allow a private army to come with some millionaire, billionaire.
Right, right.
And I'm for making sure that stays that way. So I'm not, in my lifetime, I don't think the left-wing revolutionaries that want a truly socialist society, dare I say even anarchist or communist, are out there saying, you know, I don't think if they want to compete on a gun-per-gun level with a white nationalist or with a corporate elite, I think you got to rethink your tactics.
Well, no.
You're not going to be able to outrun
them. Did I not explain to you what Minister Macklin told us? That's exactly what he said to us. We are not on that
level.
There you go.
Okay. He did say that.
We are not on that level.
Okay.
So it does not make sense for us to commit suicide.
That's what I'm talking. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
It doesn't
about.
Make sense.
That's exactly what
for
I'm talking
us to
about.
Suicide.
There's a difference between
suicide.
Defense, and there's a difference in bringing yourself up to that level.
Right.
And
right. That's
gonna, you know, that.
If it broke out right now,
country,
what would people,
exactly
working class
exactly.
people, poor people,
exactly.
black people would have to fight with,
exactly.
except the
exactly.
garbage that's on the street.
All right.
We were not. I mean, that would
exactly
kill you if we got
about.
Close
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
we're not at that level.
We
understand?
We gotta go. So I'm gonna plug the website, thetruth.show. Check out thetruth.show. We got podcasts up on there now. Please go to thetruth.show. You can listen to all the stuff we recorded for Black History Month. And we want to invite you personally to a big event coming up on March 25th at the Arch Social Club. March 25th, Arch Social Club. Thetruth.show has all the information you need on there. 4 p.m. I didn't say the time. Thank you, Gene.
Uh-huh.
Big thank you to Gene for always being here to produce our show.
Right.
Keep track of us in the background there. Anyway, we'll see you there March 25th. Check out thetruth.show. Have a good one.
This is Reverend Mother Annie Chambers saying, see ya! We will be with you.
Take care.
If you are serious, don't play with my heart, it makes me furious. But if you want me to love you, then
views expressed on the preceding program does not necessarily reflect those of the Wave Broadcasting Corporation or the staff and management of WFBR.
It's Wednesday,
this
March
is
1590 WFBR, Glenn Burnie, Dallas, Texas. This is World Missionary Evangelism on the Air. It's Mission Focus Week, and today Victoria Cathcart and Karen McCarley will be looking at evangelical tools and evangelism. But first,